I don't know what all I'm going to do. It's a kind of a difficult task, and yet an exciting time. And what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to take my pants up a notch. When you get old, you loosen them up whenever you sit down and tighten them up when you get up. And I would like to this is a pause. And y'all might have a few more before I get through. But I just ask for you to bear with me. You know, I'm deeply grateful and thankful for this church. Come on in, sure. For allowing me to be here for 8 years. We've had some mighty good times. And we've been through some tough times too. And the passing of our pastor some years ago. I've seen children running all over this place. Young people. Senior adults. And on Halloween night, to see many senior adults here taking on the responsibility in a time of need. And many people have passed through these doors during those 8 years. And because of you that are here today, and those who have been here and have gone, many lives have been touched for Jesus. And there's not many pastors that have the opportunity that y'all gave me to be here in these past years when my health has declined some and I'm not as strong and robust as I used to be. But I'm still grateful for the love that I receive from people and the encouragement and the hope that I find among God's saints. I've had grief in my heart sometimes because of things not going as I would love to see them go for my Master and for my Savior. I've seen saints that have grown in the Lord to become pure and clean and holy and loving and kind. That was not so. I've seen some that was immoral and carrying a lot of baggage come to know Jesus. And through the years, see how that God has helped them to become one who reflected Him, that other lives might be blessed. And I want you to know I stand here today not as a loser, but I'm a winner. And I want you to know that while I might have aged some physically, my heart still beats for the Lord. And the older you get, the more exciting life has become for me. And I'm still having a good time. I have some days whenever I don't get up and go as fast as I used to, but I'm just going to tell you that it just pays to serve Jesus, and it pays every step of the way, and how glorious it is. I had thought that I'd share with you my testimony today, but lo and behold, my director of mission, he told me, Paul, you can't ever do that. You cannot condense it into 62 years into 30 minutes. And I thought in my mind, you know, in some churches they have a clock hanging up for the preacher. And I started to call somebody and ask them to come and bring a calendar and put it up there this morning. And so I've tried to work and pray about it and put in a concise manner what I feel like the Lord wants me to say today. And I have, as in sharing my testimony, I've let Satan hinder me in doing that sometime because he said, oh, you can just stand up there bragging what you did. But I never try to brag on myself. And any time I talk about something that God has helped me to do for him and where he blessed it, he was the one who blessed it. He is the one who accomplished what needs to be accomplished. And I have shared my testimony when I was witnessing, after I had taken the scriptures and pointed out how that we're all sinners and how that God provided for us through his Son and give us an opportunity that we can be saved. And it seemed like it was just not getting through. And then I would just simply share my testimony. And I've seen people relate to that. And tears would flow down their cheeks. Holy Spirit was very evident, convicting them in their hearts. And they would respond to Jesus. So I make no apologies. And I'm not bragging. And what I say is just plain fact. It's just truth. It really happened and what it takes place. And I know that God has enabled me to do things that I could not do when I was a 20-year-old young man, whenever I felt the call of God on my life. It was just something that I look back over my life and I cannot but laugh and just get just so excited whenever I see how God put things together in my life. And whenever I got out of the Navy as a young man, and then stopping off in Colquitt, Georgia, to visit with my family for a little while, I caught a bus one Sunday morning to go to Ruskin, Florida, to go to work down there on the vegetable farms. I had only completed the fourth grade, and it was difficult, and didn't know any trade. And so I was offered a job of picking vegetables by my cousin, who was a foreman down there. And God had it so arranged that when I stepped onto that bus, I was beginning a journey. And he would interrupt the journey that I had planned. As I got to Cairo, Georgia, I stopped to spend the night with my sister and her husband. And I went to their home. And it was Sunday night, and they were getting ready for church. And they wanted me to go to church with them. I didn't want to go. I used my excuses as Adam and Eve. I don't have any clothes. And they said, well, just make yourself at home. We'll see you when we get back. And Linda says, poor etiquette. That was Christian. We went to church that night, and my brother-in-law introduced me to a red-headed young man named Lee Wilson. And Lee carried me back and introduced me to the young people. And the young people, they did like all young people ought to do, and I've seen them do. I was a stranger, and they took me in. And they made me feel like they really wanted me to be there. And being raised and was poor, no education, was not an athlete, I didn't feel all that accepted, didn't have too high opinion of myself, but to be accepted and to know that I was wanted. And they even talked to me about just staying in Cairo. They'd help me find a job. And so I shared that with my sister and her husband that night. And they said, well, we have an extra bed, so you can room, and you can stay with us. So I stayed with them. and kept going to church. And one day, I was standing up there in the invitation. And somehow or another, my heart, there was a tug and a pull on my heart just to step out and go down and tell Pastor Lee Long that I wanted to be saved. And I struggled so greatly. And I finally responded the next day, next Sunday. And as I was standing there, and as God was tugging on my heart, and I felt like I needed to go, and in my heart I wanted to go. And I was ashamed to step out in front of the people, and finally I came to a place where I didn't care who saw me. And I moved my right foot, and I was saved instantly. All it takes is a desire, a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and respond to Him the best way you know how. And God has done all the work, and salvation is made possible for lost sinners like all we are, all of us, lost and without God. And whenever we come to that place, He's provided for us that we can come. And I responded and became a Christian. Now I'm going to go so far, and then I'm going to quit, so don't worry. But I want you to know that that was the most glorious thing that ever happened to me when I let Jesus. Come into my heart. And immediately, my whole life changed. I never was an immoral person. But I did some things and was up, tied up in other activities. But I want you to know, that day, whenever I became a Christian, God laid it on my heart that other people are lost and need Jesus. And I started going to church, got involved in all the activities. And while I was going, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I was raised with a Christian mom and daddy, but they were Primitive Baptists and Free Will Baptists. And I never did study the Bible. But my daddy would pray. My daddy would sing those old Sacred Harp songs as he would go around the house. I can hear him now singing Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Ti Do. And I can see him sitting by the fire late in the evening reading from the pages of the Bible. And I had a good mom and a good daddy. I went to no Sunday school because they had no Sunday school at the Primitive Baptist Church. Children couldn't be saved until they were around 12 years of age. And so I played in the creek and caught crawdads and just played around while they were having church because it lasted all day. And they'd preach, three or four or five preachers preached, and it lasted a long time. But I didn't know any scripture, didn't know anybody. I couldn't tell, there was no way I could take this Bible the day I got saved and show you how to be saved. But I want you to know I knew where I got saved. And I knew that I was saved in the Eastside Baptist Church, Long Branch Baptist Church. And a preacher stood up there and preached and told me the story of Jesus. And God wrote it on my heart. And whenever I was saved and brought into the kingdom of God, and because I was under the preaching of the gospel. And so I made it my business to get as many people to church as I could. And I did. And I got real busy going out and inviting girls and young men and all like that to go to church with me. There were some Sundays I'd make two trips, two carloads of young people. And some of them, many of them, came to know Christ as their Savior. And not only did they come to know Christ, but many of those families were not Christians. And I don't know how many people came to know Jesus because I just simply went out and got them and brought those young people to church with me. And I don't know how many have come to know the Lord during that period of time. And while I was doing this, I was asked to work with the RAs. They couldn't get anybody to work with them in that church of 200 or 300 people. And they asked me, a young guy, kid just been saved just for a little while, to work with them and to take care of them. And so I said, well, okay. And so I worked with the RAs, and I didn't know what RA meant, really. But I loved those kids, and I played with those kids. I took them camping, took them swimming, and we spent time together. And when they were having their meeting, if they, when any of them started acting up, the rest of them tell them to sit down and shut up. Says, nobody wanted to work with us except Paul. And that we ought not to act that way because he was willing to work with us. And I had the privilege while I was in that church to lead a young man to the Lord at RA Camp. I volunteered to work there. And his name was Bobby Walden. He was known as the Big Toe from Cairo, because he became a kicker in college. And then he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in their heyday, Bobby Walden. And I had the privilege of sitting down talking with this little boy. And he invited Jesus into his heart. There's several things I want to say. When God started calling me to preach, I want you to know that it was not that I didn't want to preach, but I just knew I couldn't do it. You know, I simply did not respond. And I want you to know, if God wants you to do something, you might as well go on and do it, or you're going to be miserable. Amen. And I want you to know, if God wants you to do something, He knows what He's doing. And He knows what you can do. He knows what you can become. And He knew that if you would pair up with Him, that you can truly do, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But failing to respond to do what God wanted me to do, I got real miserable. I lost my girlfriend, for one thing. But God had already had that worked out, and I didn't know it at that time, but that was kind of tough, I want to tell you the truth. She was a great musician. She played the piano like, I'm telling you, she could play the piano. And she was a lady that could do a lot of things. And she was playing for a gospel group. And they kept being gone all the time. And so she didn't realize what she had. And so she finally drifted away and started dating a guy in that group. But that was all right. It didn't seem all right at that time, though. But I want you to know that during this time, I got so miserable. So one night I was riding along the road, sitting in the car with a couple of other guys, and y'all might have read this in an article. I don't know what they put in. I've been interviewed twice in the past week or so, and y'all can thank Clyde, our pastor, for doing all of this. And that guy's a special man. He really loves people. And I want you to know, as I was riding along, one of the guys, Bill Long, y'all remember Bill Long, who served as interim here. Bill was writing his girlfriend, and the youth worker and I, we were taking him up to Camilla, Georgia, where he could lead singing in a revival. And so I was sitting in the back seat, me and the good Lord, and he just made, I'm just so miserable, and I said, I can't live like this. And so I finally just there in the back seat of that car. I came to the place where I knew I could trust God. And I knew that if He wanted me to do something, He'd help me do it. And I didn't know how in the world that would ever happen and how it would ever come to pass. But I want to tell you, whenever I turned it all over to Jesus, I want to tell you something, Doug. What a relief. What a relief came to my troubled heart and soul. And I found peace for the first time in a long, long time. And now I'm going to have to hit the ground running pretty quick. And I went by and told my pastor, and he said, Paul, you're going to need to go to school. But when I went to my pastor to talk with him and tell him that God had called me to preach, and I went in to sit down. I said, Brother Lee, I've got something I need to tell you. He said, well, tell me something I don't know. And so whenever I told him that God had been calling me to preach, he said, well, tell me something I don't know. And then whenever I told him this, Brother Long, I said, I committed my life to preach the gospel. And he said, son, you need to go to school. Having a fourth grade education, and how am I going to do what God wants me to do? And I had already struggled with that. And I want you to know, God provided. He provided. I want you to know I was not worried. I didn't have any trouble. And my heart was free. And I had such joy and such excitement. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew it was going to happen. And so I went to a little Baptist school down in South Georgia, Norman College. And I thank God for Norman College. Because a lot of colleges, I couldn't even walk through the door if they knew how ignorant I was. And it was said about Norman College, there was three other men and I enrolled that year and never finished grammar school. There was three grown men with families that had gone to the sixth grade. And I haven't completed the fifth grade. Somebody said there never had been so much ignorance to hit a college campus in the history of time. And that's just about right. Because I remember as I enrolled in college and I took biology and I couldn't even spell biology. And I did pretty good on the first test. I made 16. And one of those other guys was standing out in the hallway, and he's sitting down just shaking his head. And I walked up to him and spoke to him. And I said, what did you make on that test? He said, I'm ashamed to tell you. And finally I pulled it out of him, and he made 16 also. But I want you to know that door was open. I took the GED test. And after a quarter, I took preparatory English, took biology in Old Testament. And when I got my grades, I shouted. I made a C minus. I made a D minus. And I made a D. And I just said, thank you, God. I didn't fail. And I want you to know, time went on. So God began preparing me with an opportunity for an education. And I don't have time to go through all of that, but I want you to know He has provided adequately for me. And with no money, no education, no outside source, only God. Only God. But I wish I had time just to tell you about that journey. But God knew also that whenever I was called to preach, that I needed to get an education. But also He knew that I needed a helpmate. And so even though I did not know this and I could not understand all the things that had happened and transpired, and whenever we moved, when I started going to college, I won't tell you what Leah thought of me whenever she saw me walking across the lobby whenever they had a reception for the freshmen. But I want you to know that as I dated another girl for a while and she felt God had called her to be a missionary and God had not called me that, we separated. And then one night I was walking back from a fellowship across the road at the pastor's home on Sunday night. Had talked with Liz a little bit during that fellowship time, and then as you heard me in the time past, as we were walking across back from that house to the campus, I caught her by the hand, and we walked across together. And so we've been together that long. And I didn't know when I caught her by the hand that God had created her specially for me. He had designed her and built her. And she was prepared just for me. A beautiful young lady, talented, gifted, and courageous, and bold, and has such ability, she can do almost anything. And so I have, as I look back, I knew that God has saved her just for me. Can you imagine? She was dating a guy that was a big physical guy. Not what I mean physically. He was a good-sized guy with muscles. And good-sized fella, handsome, articulate, gifted, talented, could sing and do a lot of things. I weighed 128 pounds, soaking wet. Ignorant, didn't know anything, and trying to get by. But that guy didn't know it. He was fighting a losing battle. Because God had her designed for me, not for him. And I want you to know, I don't brag on my wife a lot, but she knows I love her. I told her when we got married that I did. We had some good times. Still do. With our aches and pains. And so God provided for her. And while I was at Norman, the president called me into his office one day when we was winding down my first year there. And he says, "Paul," so there's a church down in Palatka, Florida, wants somebody to come down and work and with them for a few weeks. And I want to know, would you go? And I said, "Dr. Atkins, I can't go." I said, "I got to work." I said, "I'm building up debts at this school. And I've got to work to get to help, you know, pay my way through school." And I left his office and I was walking back across the campus. And as I was going back to the dorm, I knew that I had done wrong. I knew that I needed to go to that church. And I got to thinking, you know, I've been worrying about money, paying my way to go to go to school, and here I am letting money stand in my way of doing something that God wants me to do, giving me an opportunity to do. So I went back to his office and told him I would go. And so I called a bus because I'd gotten rid of my car and went down to Palatka, Florida, Lemon Heights Baptist Church. I'd never been in vacation Bible school in my life. Didn't know what in the world I was going to do. And so it happened that the First Baptist Church in Palatka was having vacation Bible school that week. So I went over and sat in and and the ladies helped me to learn a little bit about vacation Bible school. So I went back to direct vacation Bible school over at Lemon Heights. And the people are so gracious, and so it worked out real good. I hadn't preached about 4 or 5 times, and I was supposed to preach a week revival. And I went in the pastor study, and I studied every day and preached that revival. Had several folks get saved. And the pastor came up to me after church and said to me, or one day when we were at the church, and he said, "Paul," says, "if you want to, we'd like for you just go and stay the rest of the summer. And you can go ahead and move your membership down here." And he says, "If you become a member of our church, we have voted to contribute to the education of those who are members of this church." Says, "We will give you 3% of the total offerings of this church every Sunday if you'll join our church and stay this summer." And I had to tell him no because I really felt like I shouldn't do that. So I went back to Cairo, worked that summer. And we had a man in the church who died, and a lady from her insurance, she wanted to give money to help ministerial students. And I received $300. I felt led in my heart that I needed to get a car. And I went with my brother-in-law over to Thomasville, Georgia, and we looked at a car, and we found a 1942 Chevrolet coupe. Maroon, faded, rusted out all around, squatting down with the front, like it was just ready. And we checked it out, and it had an excellent motor in it. And so my brother-in-law said, "Well," said he, ran a poster shop. So he put that. He told me, "said I'll paint, fix this outside, and we'll cover these patches, and we'll fix it up, and I'll paint it for you." And so we bought it, and then whenever I cared to have it fixed, they fixed the front end under the car for me, and I drove her out, and she sure did run good. I went back to Norman my second year, and whenever I got to school, I hadn't been there too long, and a friend came up to me and says, "Paul," says, "Bessie Tiff Baptist Church in Tifton, Georgia, is looking for a pastor." And I gave them your name. And they called me, and I went to preach for them. Now, I couldn't tell you all the books of the Bible, folks, I'm telling you. And still couldn't read all that good because with 1 year of college and with that gap in between. And I went out and preached, and they called me to be their pastor. 22 years old, single. And I went and became their pastor. God gave me a good time. I learned quite a bit. They call annually. I stayed with them a year, baptized several people. We have a dear lady in our church was a member, going to that church. Whenever I was down there, and she came up to me and talked to me. She's sitting back yonder in the back. I can't even call her name. Fran Peters. You know, she said, "I remember you when you little old bitty fella come walking into church here." And while I was passing that church, and sometimes I'd be preaching, there was kids running up down the street. And while I was preaching, some kids come in the front door because it was hot back in those days and we had doors open. And they'd crawl under the pews. And we had to station people there. When they were coming in, I told those deacons, "Just pick them up and set them on the pew." But I left there and went and filled in at a church as associate. And then I was called to Long Branch. And I'm going to share this with you, and then I'm going to bring it to a close. But I want you to know that all the way through my entire ministry, God was working in my life and developing me. I want to say one thing else about Bessie Tiff before I leave. There was a lady in that church. She knew that I didn't have a wife to help me and be in the pew to tell me some things that I might need to know. And she took it upon herself to correct me whenever I made mistakes, and those glaring mistakes. It's all right for you to correct your pastor if he's doing things that is hurting him and hurting his ministry. If you're the kind of person you ought to be, that's what you will do. And so we don't need people to, you know, to talk about us, but we need people to help us to become what God wants us to be. We all are imperfect. You know. And so God led me to move to Albany and serve at Raleigh White Baptist Church as an interim pastor. And there's a lady on assembly line working in Grady County. Was talking with a lady next to her, and she went to Long Branch Baptist Church in Cairo. And she told her the other lady that was a member over at East Side where I came from that we're looking for a pastor. And this lady said, "Let me tell you about Paul Wade." And she told about Paul Wade. So I had a call from the Long Branch Baptist Church, and I went down and preached for them one Sunday. They had 27 in Sunday school and 16 in church training. They had preacher problems before I went there. Church problem. It's not a preacher problem. It's a church problem. It's not the preacher causing all the problem. It's a church problem. And they had church problems. And whenever I went and preached and went home and was sitting around a fire that Sunday afternoon before church, and there was a brother of the family that I was staying with, and he and his wife, they were there, and they were at church that morning, and I talked with them, and they were out of church. And so they went to church with us that night, and I got up and preached and gave the invitation. They joined the church that night. On Wednesday night, they called me to be their pastor. And whenever they call me to be their pastor, they notified me on a postcard, and we still have that in our collection. Liz, she keeps up with all that stuff. And she had that. And this church, this is a church that did more for me than anybody or any church, because I had more needs. I was still single, and I didn't have a mom and daddy close by and stuff like that. They became a mom and daddy to me. And they became a friend to me, and they loved me, and they took me in. And I'd ride up and down those roads meeting people, and whenever it came lunchtime, I'd just stop anywhere and go in and sit down at their table and eat with them. But at that church, as I preached, they loved me and they looked after me. I made all kind of mistakes with English and all other, a lot of states, just being young and not knowing any better. But I want you to know, we didn't have any problems, any fuss, or anything that messed up the fellowship during those nearly 5 years that I was there. And God bless that church. I baptized people in the old Clockney River in an article that it was written. I baptized 29 at one time. Every year I'd baptize. I don't know. I didn't know anything about the association, JoJo, and about the reporting things. They took care of all of that. And I don't know how many people were baptized during the years that I was there. But we got up to where we would run 80 in church training, sometimes over 100 in Sunday school. And what a glorious time it was. I was having lunch with one of the deacons and his wife one day. And I had a glass of milk. And I do some peculiar things when it comes to eating. And so while the lady had some biscuits over there, and so I reached over and got me a biscuit and dropped it over in my milk. And I don't know if you've ever tried. It's pretty good. But Brother Lee Long and Brother Lee William, what was his first name, Lee? Lee. But anyway, he's the one of the deacons. His last name was Lee. He said, "Well, Paul says, I want to tell you something." I said, "All right." He said, "I just want you to know I didn't vote for you whenever we called you to be our pastor." And I said, "Well, that's all right." But he said, "I want to tell you something. I was wrong. I just want you to know that I was wrong." And as far as getting an education, let me just share this with you. It's about 12 o'clock now. Whenever, and I'm about to leave out the most important thing. I married Liz while I was pastoring that church. And whenever we started dating at Norman, she would go with me sometime to play the piano, sometime to lead the music, sometime to work with the kids, sometime to prepare a drama for presentation. And she's always been right by my side. Wherever God sent me, she never offered any negative feedback if I felt like God wanted us to go. And whenever I went to the seminary, she was expecting and was 5 months along. And we left and went to the seminary, and she never said no, never grumbled, never complained. But while I was going to at Long Branch, it worked out where I finally got my debts eliminated. And Liz was teaching school. She started teaching school when she was 18 years old. And she paid her way through, too, also. She borrowed $300 from the bank down in middle Georgia. And remember, she's from middle Georgia, not south Georgia. But, you know, I forgot where I am. But we got married while we were there at Long Branch. And I want to tell you that she has never been a negative force in my ministry. She's never caused any problems or any trouble anywhere. And that's the reason I say she was specially designed for me. And she always gave me encouragement. And whenever I was invited, and while I was at Norman, after I finished Norman, I taught public school, went to seventh grade and taught all subjects in the seventh grade with 47 kids. And the reason I did that is that she was teaching the seventh grade the year after we got married. And I was losing money selling insurance. But I started at Mercy. And I gave up the church after the first year. We were driving back and forth. I was taking courses and taking a full load and driving 170 miles and visiting on Saturday and Sunday afternoon and driving back to Macon after we got out of service down there. And so I felt like I needed to resign the next year. And whenever I felt led to resign, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had another year to go at Mercer. And so I resigned with nowhere to go. And so this last Sunday there, we left. And then before the next Sunday, I received a telephone call from a pulpit committee in Ashburn, Georgia. They wanted me to come preach for them the very next Sunday. And I went to Westside and I preached for them. And they called me the next Wednesday night as their pastor. And whenever And I stayed there until we finally got out of debt again. And I wanted to go to the seminary. And I didn't know if I'd ever get to the seminary. One Sunday morning in June 1900 and see if I can get this straight. 60, I guess it was. I got in the pulpit and looked out. And there's a pulpit committee sitting in the back of the church. And they were from Collins, Mississippi. Close enough that I could go to the seminary. And I preached that morning. We talked later, and they asked me would I come and preach in view of a call to their church. I had 5 revivals in the next 4 months, 2 months. I said, it'd be August before I could come. They said, that's all right. Says, we got a good interim. And then after I went and preached for them, they called me, and they told me, said, we're waiting on when can you come? I said, man, I don't know when I can come. And I really didn't. I didn't feel like I could leave the church where I was. We were in the building program, electing new officers, and I just felt like I couldn't leave right then. And finally, I gave them a date, and I said, it had to be January the 1st before I come. They said, that's all right. Ain't God good? Amen. All the way. No other preacher. God didn't want any other preacher there. He wanted me there. He wanted me to finish my education at New Orleans Seminary. And we graduated from New Orleans Seminary. I wish I could tell you about that, all the other stuff, but I can't. And we graduated from there in Flower Branch. I preached in view of a call for them, and they called me. And they sent a truck over and got my furniture and brought it over here. And so began. I want you to know God will provide. He provides. I want you to know that first of all that God has provided for our salvation. He's provided for you to come home to Him. He's provided for you to get rid of all the weight and the burden and the sin on your life. He wants you to come to Him and let Him help you live your life. And to know of salvation, being forgiven of your sin, and being prepared for life, and then heaven when this old life is all over. And if you are lost and you're here today, God has already made all the provisions for you. And He loves you so much. It just grieves His heart. Whenever He knocks at your heart's door and He tugs at your heart for you to come to Him and let Him forgive you and help you put your life together and help you know of life at its best. And so God has provided salvation. But not only do we find salvation in Him, and today, if you're here today and you're His child and you're away from God, He still loves you. I remember when in my rebellion, when I refused to respond to Him and follow Him as He wanted me to, He still loved me. And He waited with me and worked with me. And in those everything I went through, He was trying to help me to realize that I could come to Him. And He'd help me with all my problems and my needs. And I remember when, during that time that I was away from God, I had gone to a drive-in picture show on a Thursday night when we were having revival. The only time I ever missed anything in my church. But I had came to a place where I could skip church and not bother me much. And I went to the drive-in, and while I was there, I'm just miserable. And so I carried the girl home, and then I went immediately back to the church, and hoping that I could get there and they wouldn't miss me. But God had it designed. And whenever I got back to the church and people was out milling around, I parked off here where I could ease up into the crowd. And as I was trying to ease up into the crowd to just be a part of the church, there was a young lady sitting in a car. She was a sister of the girl that I had dated. She had had polio, and it had, and that's the reason she was in the car while they were fellowshipping. And as I walked up, I walked right by that car. And she called me and said, "Paul." And so I walked over to the car. She said, "Where have you been?" Well, you know, it really wasn't any of her business. But it was her business. And she said something that really stuck my heart. She said, "You're not the man I used to know." And I was. And some of you may be here tonight. And some folks might say of you, and you might say in your heart, "I'm not the man, I'm not the woman, I'm not the child that I used to be. I'm not in fellowship with God. I'm not serving Him. I'm not having joy in my heart and my life. I'm not excited about living. I got this old heavy weight that's bearing me down." I wish you would do what I did. Come home. And God has a plan for all of our lives. He wants you to be productive. He wants you to be useful. He wants you to be such of a person that you make people feel good. And it makes people that's down want to get up. It makes people that are laughing, they want to keep on laughing. They want you to be a person that will make things better. He wants you to be a person that has stickability, knowing whom you have believed in and is persuaded that He's able to keep that which He's committed in you. And if God lays on your heart a vocation that you think you cannot pursue, and you think this is what you are adapted for and created for, God will help you to become and do what you feel in your heart that you have been created to be and do. But in everything and in all things, first of all of us are created in order that we might glorify God and that we might help others come to know the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior and to live in such of a way that we can bring glory to Him, that people might know that He is not an angry God, but He's a loving God. I'm going to tell you, close with this. There was a little boy in Ashburn, Georgia. His name was Tabby Pitts. 17 years of age. When I went to be their pastor, somebody told me about him. So I went to see him. And every week I'd go by and we'd have Bible study together. And Tabby accepted Jesus. And one day I was there after he had been saved, and whenever I was getting ready to leave, he started crying. And I said, "What's the matter, Tabby?" And he said, "Preacher Paul," he said, "you know, I'd give anything in this world. I'd just give anything if I could just be baptized and belong to Westside Baptist Church." To make a long story short, it worked out that one day Tabby came in his wheelchair and rolled down the aisle. And whenever he started rolling down that aisle and people saw him coming down that aisle and the squeaking of the wheels, Everybody focused on him. And we voted to take him and as a candidate to be baptized. And that night, whenever we got ready to baptize, his father went with me as we rolled the wheelchair around to the baptismal pool in the back. And I walked down in the pool, and as I went down in the pool, I stood there and waited for them to come. Then his father picked him up, didn't weigh all that much, and walked down the steps with him into the pool. And I got behind his father as he was holding the son. And his father got down on one knee and held that son on his knee. And I got down beside him, and I put my hand under his head. And I said, "In the name of the Father and of the Son, I baptize thee, my brother, Tabby Pitts." And I eased him under the water. I gently brought him back up. And that little boy had a dream of being a radio jockey. I was going to Waycross, Georgia, one Sunday afternoon after I had preached in Griffin, Georgia, to preach in a revival that night. And as I was riding along the road, I had my radio on. I was listening to gospel music. And whenever the song had finished, there came the voice of the radio jockey. And it said, and he said, "This is Tabby Pitts, your radio jockey." God wants us to be productive. Leave the world in a better place. And the only way you can ever leave it in a better place, make our church any better, make our home any better, make anything better, he has to have people that want to know him, want to obey him, and then do what he wants them to do. And then you will see glorious things come to pass. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, and as we sing, you may be here, and you have been baptized. I mean, you've been saved. And you may be here, and you may have never received Christ. First of all, if you've never received Christ, why don't you today just distrust God? The old devil makes you think he's going to be he's just there to color. You won't get any truth from the devil. But what God is doing, he's tugging at your heart and telling you just to trust him and to come to him. Then today, as we sing this invitation hymn, in your heart and your soul, confess to the Lord. Take your first step in obedience, coming to the Lord. And if you've been saved and never been baptized, I want you to know sometimes people do that. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. But I cannot help but to believe that if you are really saved, that you want to follow the Lord's instructions to you to be baptized. Because it's a symbol of what takes place in your heart and in your life. How that you've received Christ and you've died to yourself. He's buried. I'm a new person and I have a new life. And I want to get on with living like God wants me to live. And then today, if you need a church home and you're already a member somewhere else, you ought to belong. I just cannot believe that anybody who don't want to belong to a church is going to be very much good in helping to build the kingdom. I don't believe in, you know, I believe in commitment. I believe in commitment in marriage. And I believe that you ought to make a commitment to be married. If you're going to live with somebody, you ought to make a commitment to live with them. And if you're a Christian, you ought to make a commitment to a fellowship openly with God, to live with God's people and work with God's people to win a world to Jesus. Trust him. And I promise you, if you will really trust him and follow him, you'll find life to be so glorious with him. And even in the tough times of life, what a wonderful peace you can have with the Savior. Would you stand, please? Pastor, would you come? And would you stand here at the front? And just step out and come. And some of you might want to just come to the front just to kneel and come back home. You may not be what you used to be, but you want to come home to God, and God can help you be what you used to be and make you even greater and use you from the moment that you come back and begin. You come right now while we sing.
Mm-hmm.